Here with the MMQBs, Peter King at the NFL annual meetings. Peter, with regards to the Broncos, everybody wants to know about the quarterback position. The decision makers have said that they're really happy with the two young guys. Are you hearing the same thing around the league?
Right after the season, I heard that John Elway basically was saying internally that we're not really in the market for a quarterback right now. And I think there's two ways to look at it. A, he doesn't want to retard the growth of two young players. Look, I may be proven wrong about this long term. I think Trevor Siemian really has a chance. And if he is protected, and that's an important thing, and that goes to what the Broncos have done this offseason in trying to keep him, you know, better protected, he and Paxton Lynch. So I think they don't want to retard the growth of those two guys. But on the other hand, I think that if Tony Romo is on the street and he wants to play another year or two and the money isn't outlandish, I think they'd be foolish not to at least consider it. Now, my gut feeling is that if he is on the street and chooses to continue to play football, my gut feeling is that he's probably going to go to Houston if the money is somewhat close. But, you know, who knows what will happen. And I think it's been very curious that they haven't that Dallas has not released him. You know, it's clear, at least to me, that John Elway nor Houston GM Rick Smith, they're not going to give a draft pick for him. At least that's the way it seems. So it's been an interesting little dance that's being played.
A lot going on this offseason, of course. Earlier, the Broncos made a hire at the head coach position. What did you think of picking up Vance Joseph?
You know, I sensed from both from Elway and internally that they've had their eye on Vance Joseph for some time and really like his development as a young coach, and particularly a guy who can deal with young players very, very well. I think that was what his sort of trademark was in Miami. When you talk to players, you talk to Adam Gase, you talk to people in Miami, they really felt like he had an excellent finger on the pulse of his defense. And now he's got to transfer that to the whole team. But I do think that the one good thing about this Denver team with a new coach, really good, smart, self-motivated veteran players. You know, you're not going to have to tell Chris Harris much to get him ready to play at the highest level that a defensive back can play. He's coming into a team that is well suited for his level of leadership and the way he wants to coach. And I think the other thing is, I would really want to be a coach under John Elway, because Elway understands he's not intimidated by anything in the market, anything in the game. And I think one of the most interesting things with John as a sort of a, you know, the conscience of a franchise, the guy who has to lead a franchise. I'll never forget a couple of years ago, Peyton Manning's last year before the season, he went to him and he said, I got to give you a $4 million haircut. I want a general manager. I want a franchise architect who's going to have the stones to go in and to make the kind of decisions that you have to make to win in the NFL, and John Elway is that guy.
There's certainly a lot of tough decisions to be made in that role. We're at the NFL annual meetings, but Broncos owner Pat Boland is not here. Last year, he was knocking on the door of the Hall of Fame. Do you think this is the year for him?
Yeah, I mean, last year, there's no question. I mean, I'm one of the people on the committee that obviously, and probably deservedly so, got an awful lot of venom from Broncos fans because Pat Boland was not among the two finalists. I can't predict what's going to happen in August, but my gut feeling is that, and I don't think anybody on that committee views that there is a line, so the next guy, you just tap him on the shoulder, and so he's going to be the guy. But my gut feeling is that he's got a very good chance this year to be that guy. I don't think it's a difficult case to argue that he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I think once he is nominated that he will get in, and I personally hope it's this year. I think he's deserving.
What do you feel like his lasting legacy on the league is?
I think there's two things. Number one, there's something to be said for an owner who puts people in position to be successful and gets out of the way and supports them every way possible. I'll never forget all the time. I mean, I know Mike Shanahan well, and over the years, he would just talk to me about what nirvana it was to be in Denver, because he said, you get resources like nobody. He says, Bolin, all he wants to do is win. And he did that. But I think, I don't want to say this is a hidden legacy, but there is a legacy of influence in television and how the American football fan watches television, both from his leadership in some of the primetime packages. He is, to me, the most significant influence on football being played on a very high level in huge games on Sunday night. It became a second Monday Night Football and a better than Monday Night Football game, a destination telecast that now most weeks, very often, is the game of the week, is the best game. And Pat Bolin did that. And so I think that sometimes gets forgotten, that gets hidden, but that's his baby. And he deserves credit for that, and he deserves a lot of credit for what has happened in television in general. So those are the two things. I think excellence with his own franchise and also major influence in how America watches football on TV.
More Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons.
It's amazing.
It's crazy. Yep. Peter, thank you very much.
Hey,
I appreciate
pleasure.
It. Thank you.